God wants to show you to me was that if we lift, Jesus said, if you lift, if you be, if I would be lifted up, I will draw on them to me. We don't have to do anything except lift him up. And sometimes it takes us a stirring or shaking, or we're going to tell ourselves, no, you will praise God. You will lift him up. You will lift up the name of Jesus, no matter how you feel, no matter what's going on around you, you're going to lift up the name of Jesus.
us, Lord. You are King, Lord. You are the only one able to break this seal and open this scroll. Oh, God, you are worthy because you are the Lamb who died and conquered death. Oh, Jesus, we proclaim it today. King of kings, Lord of lords, we lift you up. We lift up your name.
Thank you, Lord. While we're in the spirit of prayer, I just prayed for a couple things yesterday. There's a few more things, but I want to remind us of all we thought this morning. God does what he says. God does what he says, and God hears us. Just want to remind you from Psalm 7, when David is crying out to the Lord, he just tells him how wonderful it is. He does everything. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice in his from his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And Lord, as we cry out to you this morning, Father, for a couple of requests that I am praying for, Father. One is Karen Kopp, Lord, who I was the only one that knew, and then I went away that she was having some AFib problems. She was hospitalized here, then had a normal week and went and saw her son and was hospitalized a little lengthier in Connecticut. Father, and they're doing stuff, and she'll be home next week, we believe. But Father, I pray for our sister, Lord God. Father, she has such a heart to be a friend and to help people and to love you, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you would get her through this, that the doctors would have answers, that you would perform miracles, Lord. Nothing is too difficult for me. God, we just bless our sister, Lord God, and help her to know we're thinking and praying for her, Lord. Father, I pray for our brother Gene Miller, Father, who's a very vital, important, and wonderful part of the body of Christ in our region. Gene has had some difficulties, was hospitalized, and they found a growth in his brain. And God, we're believing you. We're believing you. We stand with Gene and Sharon, and we believe you, God, for a miracle. Nothing is too difficult for thee. And as they go through testing to see what you are doing, Lord God, not to just give power to this thing, but to see what you are doing. Father, give them wisdom about which hospital and doctors, and God, bring a peace to them during this difficult time. Just a wonderful brother and sister, Lord God, bless them. And Father, I just want to declare your word that comes after David saying, and my cry came before him, even his ears. Father, we pray, your word says, then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because you are angry, Lord God, at the works of darkness coming against your people. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by him. He bowed to heaven. Also, when he came down with darkness under his feet, he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals and fire. And it goes on with some natural things. But God, we thank you. Be near us. All that you ask is that we come and you stand up for us against the works of darkness. And we thank you, Lord God. And David says, after all this, He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. We thank you, Jesus, that you delight in us. You delight in all that are going to be brought up in my prayer requests and Pastor Dave's. And we just look to you. We look to you because you are bigger. You are bigger in the darkest of places. In Jesus' name, amen. Just our normal announcements this week. Men's Bible study tomorrow night, as usual, from 6 to 8. And I hear they're just growing. And
men's Bible study. Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. So all men are welcome. Wednesday, our regular prayer meeting at 7. And I noticed when I opened up my bulletin on the other side, you've all seen this. There's Pastor Dave might be talking about it, but there's going to be revival meetings at Hope this coming weekend, and the students, I understand, they will be hearing this man. I've got a couple of at least two or three of their chapels, and trust the Lord to do a mighty work that would ripple, that would have a rippling effect out of Hope.
Denise, I have an announcement. Am I talking loud enough for people?
Yeah.
Okay, I will still grab the mic.
So, as we all know, Dean and Sherry are moving, and Dean has to have everything packed in his house by early Saturday. And so I've been coordinating and helping, and so if anybody is willing to come, you don't have to do any extra moving. We've got people to do that. But packing up all the little figurines and all the hundreds of things that people have in their house. So if anybody is able, please either call me or Dean. I'm there most evenings. And so I would love to have up and people and friends.
Okay, I saw my up here. I didn't have this. But I'm reminded that we support many missionaries both financially and in prayer. Please support these efforts by checking in regularly at the missions board in the back hallway and use the guide on today's bulletin as the place to begin praying for our missionaries. Okay, and if I can have two volunteers to do, happy just volunteers, to do the offering, and Dean, would you come to the offering? You won't be able to ask those questions too long, but we
bless you as you go into a new and wonderful thing. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for this fellowship. We pray that your presence continue to be with us, Father, and be with us today in this word. Father, bless you, Father. Bless you. Offering, Father, and do with them as you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to God. Thank you. I would have forgotten. Heaven only knows what's going to happen when you tell them.
Never know.
Just never know. Oh boy. I think I did it right. We're finding that these recordings are being listened to by people in faraway places. Isn't that cool? I want you to take a minute and just think about all the stuff in your house. Just think for a minute. Now think if you guys have all that stuff up in the room. Does this send a shiver of fear through your heart? So, as you think of that, think about a dean. And if you can help, oh, I can't imagine a fight with me today. Oh, some days I just feel like I'd rather just take a match to it and be gone. But that's not a good idea either. So this will be your last chance to give Dean a hug. So don't miss that. And he's out of the room, but we have a little fellowship for him at the end. We've got a cake. So please hang out for just a minute. And we want to bid Dean a fond. He would say it's not a farewell. They're planning to come back. But you know, it's never the same. So take this opportunity to say goodbye and give him a hug. Let him know that you love him. And Dean has been a faithful and worthy faithful in our church. And so we want to honor him. I would like to ask your prayers today for Ken Vendruff. Ed and Annalie Vendruff were the founding pastors of this church. Years and years ago, they founded the Full Gospel Mission. I think it actually was born out of a prayer, a couple of ladies' prayer meeting. Doesn't that figure? Some ladies got in, they started praying heaven down, and a pastor came, and they started having meetings. And I met on Chamberlain Street, and Ed and Annalie have two sons. They have Jim and Ken. And Jim and his wife Cindy attended the church for a lot of years before they moved on. And Ken and his wife Ivy went off to be in on the mission field and served as Iowa missionaries for years and years and years. And Ken just bid a final farewell to his beloved wife Ivy the other day. Ivy has gone to be with the Lord. And I want to pray and remember them. I don't have an address, but some of you may know them. And as a church and as myself, we're going to extend our condolences. But some of you might like to be able to do that too. And as the son of our founding pastor, we really want to honor him in this community. So let's remember them. We're praying today again for Sherry Clark. She is home. She's got an issue with neuropathy in her feet. She's also got a lot of pain. She has a tremendous coughing problem and her chest hurts. She just needs to kind of touch her body. I'd like to ask you to pray for my wife, Carol. She is not here today. She has gone to be with her mother who fell and broke her femur. Her mother's had 7 hip replacements. 7 hip replacements because she was wearing them out. Well, she broke this one just below where they had done the surgery. So they think that it will heal. But my wife is there helping her for now. But there are some major challenges in the family there. And so if you could please remember to pray for both Carol and her mom. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you today. I thank you for Dean and Sherry. I thank you for Dean's faithfulness. He is the example of a faithful man. Your word says, a faithful man who can find. Well, we found one, Lord. It was Dean Perry. God, he served endlessly faithful. faithful in so many capacities. We pray that you would bless him today. And as he goes, we pray the blessing of God would meet him when he arrives and would follow him all the way there, Lord. Father, we lift up our brother Ken Van Ruff. We thank you for his faithfulness, for his service for all these years, and for his precious wife and for her giving of herself all these years on the mission field. We pray, God, that you would help Ken. Lord, I know he's trusting God, but he's hurting at this time. And I pray, God, you would bless him, help him, and encourage him in the loss of his precious wife and our beloved sister in the Lord. We lift up Sherry to you, God. We pray that you would touch her body, that you would touch her feet, you would touch her whole body, Lord. Touch her chest. Deliver her from affliction, Lord. Deliver your handmaid from affliction. God, we pray the presence of God will come right into her house where she is right now and minister healing and life. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, it will make alive your mortal body. Father, make Sherry's body come to life. Renew her, Father. Renew her spirit. God, I pray for my wife and for her mom. I pray that femur is healed. Lord, people in their 80s, it's a little harder to bounce back from something like this. But God, I pray that you would touch her mom. And God, I pray that you would help her to find a new place to live that will be safe and will be good for her, Lord. Help her, Father. And I pray that you give my wife grace, abundance of grace, to walk above the wind and the waves there and above the storm and to do your will. Thank you, Father. You are a good God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I have a lot to share with you today, but I'm going to go move really quick. So put on your running shoes because we're going to take a running fling at this. And I'm about to go on a Bible rampage. And I do mean a Bible rampage. And I'm going to move quick. If you're taking notes, you're going to have to write fast today. Because there's so much that I want to do. But what I'm going to share is not a new message. If you have been a Christian for 5 days or 50 years, this message is for you. It's not new. You've heard it before. You've heard it probably 5 times before. You've probably heard it 5,000 times before, over and over. But my hope is that I can stir up a fire in you for this. And if you get this, it will transform your life again. It will transform your life. How many of you would like to have your life transformed?
Amen.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Huh. The Word of God is alive and active. Wow. It is alive and active. And, wow. I actually have this up. I got a scripture that I did not put up there. I think I did, and it's long, so I didn't want it. Oh, I do have it. What do you know? Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Go ahead and click. These words I am commanding you today are to be upon your hearts, and you will teach them diligently to your children, and you will speak of them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as reminders on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Why? Verse 12. Be careful not to forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And, you know, the Jews took this so seriously that they created something called phylacteries. They were these little scripture boxes. Go ahead and click. And do you see the little box on his forehead? This Jewish fellow has a little box, and in it are some scriptures. And then if you look on his arms, it's a little hard to see. Right about here, he's got another little box. It says, tie them to your head and tie them to your arms. And they took this literally. They stuck scriptures on their arms and bound them up so they could walk around being reminded that they needed to constantly think on the Word of God. Constantly to think on the Word of God so they would remember His promises. Do we have to be constantly reminded of God's promises? Boy, I have to be constantly reminded. Why is it that I can't just get it the first time? I wish I did, but I don't. Darn it. And I don't get it the first time. Oh boy, in the New Testament, Acts 17:11, I think I got it there. Now the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians, for they received the message that Paul brought to them with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if these teachings were true. They were called noble, and why? Because they dug into the Word of God to find out if what they were hearing was real, was true. And they were called noble, noble people. Wow. People like William Tyndale in the 1500s were martyred for trying to bring the scriptures to people in their own language. William Tyndale, who faced persecution, he was even shipwrecked once, it sounds like Paul. He had a very difficult life, and then they martyred him, they killed him, and then they burned his body. And a fellow named Myers Coverdell took upon himself, he was an archbishop in the church, and he took upon himself to finish Tyndale's translation. And it was printed as the Coverdell Bible. Well, what it didn't say was it was mostly William Tyndale that had done the work, but Myles Coverdell risked his life tremendously, even as an archbishop, to do that. You have Thomas Cromwell, who promoted the Coverdell Bible, and he was executed, and what his crime was for Reformation. Bring the Word of God to people. So precious was the Word of God that people gave their lives to see it given to the masses. And, you know, if you think about it, only 400 or 500 years ago, people did not have this. I mean, we have so much of it now. And so, in translations, I mean, you can go online and read the Bible in Chinese, well, we could. We've got, I don't know how many copies of the Bible back there. It's everywhere. Best-selling book forever. But 400 or 500 years ago, people didn't have one. There's only a few around, and if you were found with one, it was not a good thing. So, it's a precious thing that people were willing to give their lives for, and because we have it in such abundance now, is it easy to take it for granted? Oh, God, help us. God has given us His precious Word, a life manual on Him, His promises, His truth, our Savior. How important is it for us to read it? Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Where's the first mention in the Bible of God breathing? Do you know that God breathes? It's in Genesis. Where are we specifically told that God breathed? He breathed into Adam the breath of life. The breath of God brings life. And when He breathes upon the scripture, it is it's every bit as much alive as you and I am. Because there's life in the Word of God. I would like to share some thoughts on the scriptures. in the hope that it's going to stir up, it'll spark a renewed zeal for God's Word. If you can get this, and you get a renewed zeal, it's going to transform your life again. Why read the Bible? I told you this was basic. Why do we need you? All right, get your running shoes on. Here we go. So I'm going to move fast. But boy, I just hope you can catch these points and really get this in your heart. I hope you're all listening about that. Yeah, I hope you're listening. Go ahead, Eric. The Word shows us God's character and His revelation of Himself to us. If we did not have the Scriptures, how would we know who God is? How would we know what God thinks? How would we know how He acts? The Scriptures are our source of truth for who God is. Isaiah 40:28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. John 3:16 tells us how God feels. For God so loved the world, loved His creation, that He was willing to give His own Son. The Bible, one of the main reasons we read it, is to find out who is God. It's the revelation of God Himself. Do you know when we read the book of Revelation, that is not a revelation of the end times. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of Him. We sang, most of the songs we sang about today, is that half of them were drawn from the book of Revelation. The revelation of who God is. Okay, number two, go ahead. The Scripture is living, we've already referred to that. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active. You want your Bible might say quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder to the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's alive, and when you read it, it can come alive in you, and it can cut away the things that need to go. It can encourage, it can bless. It's alive. It's a living thing. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Oh, I didn't put that there, sorry. No, that's all right. All Scripture given by, all Scripture is given, God breathed, good for instruction, conviction, correction, training in righteousness. Amen and amen. Number three, reading the Word reorients your thinking. Boy, we need to have our thoughts reoriented. Wow. I find every time I think I know something, I think backwards to the way God thinks. I'm always getting turned around. God has to always turn me around because I'm always thinking it this way, and God says it this way because the natural mind does not perceive or understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned, and we only find it in the Word. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? In the Word. That's okay. Yeah, if you go back one, that would be better. If you right click, it'll go backwards one. Or not. It just says back at the top. Back or previous.
Oh,
previous. Second one down. Previous. There we go. So, reorient the thinking, renew your mind, and then what happens? You'll be able to test and approve what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. It's going to give you discernment. You're going to know. You're going to be able to test things. You're going to be able to prove things. You're going to know what truth is. You're going to know what isn't truth. Do we need discernment in this day? Oh, God, help us. We need discernment in this day. We need to know what the truth is and then hold fast to it, because the lie is so deceiving, and in some ways, the lies are so close to the truth and they sound good. Oh, we need to have our thinking reoriented. Number four, reading the scriptures will teach us to imitate Jesus. This is one of the ways that we can come. I want to look like Jesus. I don't want to look like me anymore. I'm sick of seeing me in the mirror. I see enough of me every day. I want to look like Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. You are to imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Be imitators of God. We get a picture of what we're supposed to be like, who we're supposed to look like. And God uses that to change us in his image. Glory to God. Number five, the Bible gives us direction. The Word gives us direction. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, there is a difference between direction and decision. If you will commit your life and follow the precepts that are laid down in this Word, God is going to direct you in the right way. Now, I find myself sometimes frantically praying from decision to decision. Now, it's not wrong to seek God for decisions. It's not wrong. God will lead you and help you. But if you will follow the precepts in this book, it's going to order your life the right way. You're going to go in the right direction. Lots of those decisions can be made for you because you're going in the way that God says to go. Your life will be directed. Number six, reading the Bible will help keep us from sin. Oh boy, I need to be kept from sin. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do we get there? And then when you're tempted, God nudges you and says, where's the wisdom of your head? Don't go there. Don't touch it. John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That's important. This is talking about pruning. Don't we love to be pruned? You are already clean. That word clean there means ceremonially clean, according under Jewish law, but it also means to be cut back or pruned. How do we get the dead stuff cut out of our lives? How do we get the stuff out that isn't fruitful anymore? How do we do it? The word I have spoken to you. You get that word in, it's going to prune you, it's going to clean you up, it's going to cut the dead stuff out. Oh boy. Well, Romans 6. Ooh, I won't tell you how many I have. Number seven. The word causes us to change. Oh, aren't you glad? Thank you, Jesus. I really want to change, Lord. And become more holy. John 17:17. Sanctify them. This is Jesus praying. Sanctify them by thy truth. By your truth. What's this? Your word is truth. We get sanctified as we get this living word within us, and it changes us from glory to glory. It helps us to become more like him. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. When you read that word, when you get it in, it washes you. God can take his supernatural power washer and peel off another layer of the onion. You know, get more of the muck of the world off of you. And you know, some days you may be doing the best you can, but the world still gets on you. We need the word every day to wash the world off of us, to keep ourselves clean, to keep our heart oriented right, to keep our focus and our relationship well in Christ. And it comes through the Word. It comes through the Word. Number eight, the Word allows us to receive the desires of our hearts. Ooh, we like this one. Woo-hoo-hoo. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Does that sound like a magic wand? Ooh, genie in a bottle at the top out, gets the wishes. Well, let's look at the beginning, folks. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. So, before God can give you the desires of your heart, He has to give you your desires. And when you get into the Word, you're going to start having godly desires. Your heart's going to start being in tune with what God says. You're going to start having godly desires. You're going to start wanting to see people get saved. You're going to want to see things happen for the kingdom of God. And that's why you can pray what you wish and it'll be done for you, because your heart gets lined up in order with God's heart. Glory to God. Ooh, I'm glad He doesn't give us all the desires of our heart. Not you, ooh, someone's going to be bad. 9. The Word delivers from fear. Oh boy, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. How are you going to conquer fear if you don't understand the Word of God? When you get into the Word, you start understanding. God says, I will be with you. God says, I will provide for you. God says, I feed the birds of the air. I clothe the lilies of the field. He says, don't worry. Make your request known to God and peace will come. How do we overcome fear? With the Word. Speaking life to the Word. And when you feel fearful, you speak that word to yourself. Speak it out, and God will be faithful. You'll find it will change you. Why? Because it's alive. It's living. 10. Reading the Word helps you to be fruitful. Boy, I want to be fruitful. How many of you want your life to count for something? I want my life to count for something. Psalm 1:2-3. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. And what is the result? He's like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and who prospers in all he does. Why? Because the roots of that tree are soaking up the rich soil of God's Word. How can you not be fruitful? How can it not bring life out of you if you're soaking up that wonderful Word of God? 11. The Word teaches us how to pray. Luke 11:1-4. That's the Lord's Prayer. I don't even, our Father who art in heaven, they said, teach us to pray. But the wonderful thing about the Scriptures is that you can pray. Did you know you can pray the Scriptures? You can pray them over people. And I gave you 3 examples there. If I took time to read them and pray, we'd be here until 12:30. I'm not going to do that to you, but I'm looking for something here. Just as an example, I'm going to Colossians 1:9-11, the last one on that list. You can look at the other ones. If I was going to pray for my friend, I have a friend in Dave, and I'm praying for him all the time. I'm going to pray Colossians 1:9-11 for Dave. For this reason, since the day we heard about Dave, we have not stopped praying for Dave and asking God to fill Dave with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and understanding, so that Dave may walk in a worthy manner of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that Dave may have full endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified Dave to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. You need to pray the Scriptures over people. And you're praying something that is powerful and alive. Take the Word, and I'm not committing sacrilege by sticking my friend's name in there. That's what Paul was praying over people. Yeah. And you can pray it. You can pray it over people. 12. The Word contains God's promises. How will you know God's promises if you don't read the Word? How can you lay hold of them as you fill your mind with the Word of God and the promises of God? then faith is going to arise in your hearts. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2 Kings, he will deliver you from the hands of all your enemies. How do we know that the weapons of our warfare are going to demolish strongholds? How do we know that by his stripes we're healed? How do we know that we're being changed from glory to glory? They're the promises of his word, and we have to renew our minds in them, lay hold of them. They're the truth. And if we meditate upon those things, it's going to change us. God's promises, that's where we find them. 13. The word is totally, absolutely, 100% completely reliable. Psalm 12:6, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Wow, that is really pure. God's word is purer than that. You can trust your life on this word. You can bank on it. It will absolutely never fail you. God's word, absolutely. Number 14. The word frees us from Satan's power. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. If this 1 John, that's not 1 John, it's the Gospel of John. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from what? From bondage, from prison, where you need deliverance. Jesus fought with the word. Matthew 4, when the devil came to him, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Worship the Lord only, and him shall you serve. You shall not put the Lord to the test. 3 times, he kicked the devil back because he knew the power of the word. And the devil had to back off. When you bring the word, the devil's going to have to back off. You speak that word when the devil comes to tempt you and to attack you. Bring it to him, bring the game to him, and send him out the door. Speak the word of God, just like Jesus did. It'll free you from the power of the enemy. Number 15. The word keeps us from destructive errors. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, encourage with every form of patient instruction. For the time will come when men will not tolerate sound doctrine, but with itching ears. You know what that means? Ooh, I just want to hear something that sounds good. It's going to make me happy. Itching ears, they will gather around themselves teachers to suit their own desires, so they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You know, teaching is great. The scripture talks about having teachers. And there are teachers that I listen to, and I gain tremendously from them. But how do I know if what they're teaching is true? You've got to discern it. It's got to match up. It's got to match up and line up with the Word of God. And can I encourage you, if most of your time in the Word is listening to people teaching the Word, you're missing something. When you just listen to teachers, you are hearing what somebody else says is what the Word of God says. When the Scripture says you do not have any need of man to teach you, it's not tossing teachers out. But it's saying that not only you don't just need to be taught, you need to go to the Word yourself and learn what God is saying. And we need this more than we need listening to somebody else teach. I'm not bashing teachers. If I was, you wouldn't be here listening to me today. So that the ministry of teacher is important, but get the Word. Get the word in you. And it'll give you discernment. You'll know what's true. You'll know if what's being preached is true. Because it's sound. Sometimes I'll listen and I'll say, you know, something's not right. I smell something bad. You ever get a whiff of something? You're hearing a teaching and you get a whiff and it's like, it's pretty good, but something's not right there. And then you go into the Word and you find out. Not quite right. It doesn't mean everything's wrong. You don't have to throw the whole thing out. But discern. Okay, so, I told you. Read your Bible. That's basically what I'm saying. If you read Psalm 119, every single verse, it's a great chapter in the Bible. Because every single verse it says, read your Bible. But you know, if you're faithful to really do it, that word will transform your life. The strongest Christians that I know are people who are full of the Word. Oh, glory to God. Somebody went and visited Smith Wigglesworth once, and he wanted to see Smith, wanted to talk to him about his miracle ministry, and he came in, and Smith said, come on and sit down. And then the guy said, well, I want to talk to you about it. He goes, stop. We're going to get into the Word. What's in me? For the next hour, they read the Scriptures. And then when they got done, he said, okay, well, I have a question to ask you about it. Teach me about your being with Smith. Wait. They prayed. Smith's on his face, prayed. And then they finally they get up. And the guy says, okay, now I'm going to get to the doctor. And Smith says, what's going on word again? Do you see what's happening now? Do you know why God was able to even allow like Smith Wigglesworth in here? He was so He was prayer. He wasn't chasing miracles. He was chasing God. Oh, glory to God. So, we know we ought to. What keeps us? What keeps us from? Go ahead, Eric. Give it just one quick there, or one more. What keeps us from? Well, what are the obstacles that keep us from getting into the Word? Go ahead, one more quick. Your enemy does not want you to read the Word. Do you know why he does it? Because if you read it and you learn it, you're going to find out that you have authority over him. You're going to learn that you can rebuke him. You're going to learn you can pray heaven down. You can be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. So that means your enemy is going to do everything he can to discourage you from reading the Word. And I want to look at a few things that he likes to use. Number one, I talk to people about reading the Word, and you know, the first thing they say is, I sit down and read my Bible, and there's so many distractions. Oh, as soon as I sit down, I think about 15 things that I need to do today. Have you experienced that?
Yeah.
We find it's hard. All of a sudden, distractions. I discovered one day, I thought, I sat down and I had to think about this, everything I need to get done. I have to put a piece of paper right here. And I wrote it down. And I'm not sure I wrote it down. And once it's down, I don't have to think about it anymore. Yeah. And I wrote it all down, and I did the Word. And then when I got done, I had my to-do list for today. I'm like, yes! Take that, Kelvin. Oh, God. I found that it helps me. If it helps you in distractions, wonderful. You can pray through it. You say, God, try to reorient your mind. Fight through those distractions. If you've got to fight through it, it's worth it. B. I hate to even say it. I have people tell me, I enjoy reading the Bible because it's boring. Well, you know what? I've had some times where I got a little bored. Well, can I encourage you? Read a variety of scriptures. You know, if you sit down and say, I'm going to read the book of Hebrews and I am going to understand all of it. By the end of Hebrews, you're going to be standing there like this. Nobody understands all of the book of God. Yeah, that is a dense book. You know, if you're just going to sit around and read Leviticus, well, yeah, it's going to get a little dry. Offer the calf on the altar, pour out the blood,
would they take burn the hide, offer up the, then bring a cow, then burn it, pour out the blood,
and all for the power of the many chapters. So reaffirm those scriptures. Have reading points. You know, the Bible has narrative, it has stories, it has doctrinal teaching, it has history, it has prophecy, it has poetry, it has romance, it has drama. Read the book of Esther. That's a great drama, and it's true. So there's nothing wrong with having a buffet. Have a buffet! Have your steak, have your potatoes, have your vegetable, have your dessert. Find some different things. Your Bible reading doesn't have to ever be boring. There's all kinds of exciting things in the Word of God. Don't just eat beans. What do we have for breakfast today? I eat beans. Let's forget beans. What do we have for lunch? Beans. You don't want your thumb. Don't do that. And don't try to choke down the whole steak without chewing either, please. Can you imagine? Don't grab onto the book I'm going to study and read nothing but the Book of Romans. You're going to be choking that time. You can study that, but give yourself some liberty, some reading space. Get a breath of the whole Word of God. Maybe try to get a Bible translation. You know, be careful. Some of the Bible translations are transliterations. Some of them are just paraphrases. So understand what it is you're reading. But some different translations can make life very interesting and take away that whole thing. Number three, I'm too busy. I have people telling me I'm just too busy. I've got so much to do. I just can't. You know why? You have not made the scriptures a priority. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying the person who said that. I know in my life, why aren't you busy? I have made the scriptures a priority. You know, funny thing, I have discovered that no matter how busy I am, if there's something that I really want to do, somehow I find time to do it. You know what I'm talking about. If there's something you really want to do, you can find a way. We have to prioritize the Word of God. It means you've got to set your alarm a half hour, 15 minutes, a half hour earlier in the morning, and get up, but schedule yourself. Make a plan. Decide when and stick to it. And then if you blow it for one day, don't give up. Just get up the next day and do it. God will bless you for it. And if you need a plan, you can go on BibleGateway.com. There are all kinds of Bible reading plans that you can get on, and you can do it right on your phone or on your computer. If you don't have that, I printed off a few Bible plans. I'm going to leave them up here. This one is the Bible in a Year. You get through the whole Bible in a year, you get through the Bible in a lot less than a year, but and that's a good thing. New Testament, 30 days. Do you know you could do that? You can get through the whole Bible, New Testament, 30 days. If you read, there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. If you read 10 chapters a day, you'd be through in 26 days. If you read 5 chapters, which is 5 chapters, you'd be done with the whole Testament in less than 2 months. Or if you read 2 or 3 chapters, then 3 or 4 months, and you're through the entire New Testament. Now, that's kind of taking a running shot at it. You haven't maybe stopped to really chew on things or memorize things or work through it, but there's something to be said for getting through that. And when, if I'm reading, one thing I do is I just cycle through the scriptures all the time. Oh, I'm constantly going through it. Why? Because I need to be reminded of the whole Word of God. But be proactive. Make a schedule. Maybe try it in the morning. Get there. Do it. And God will reward you. My wife, when she was in college, she was a music major, and she was practicing the violin 5 to 6 hours a day. And she had a teacher, Mr. Joseph, and he was a tyrant. Oh, and
she'd win, and she'd play something, and he'd go, no. And my wife, she'd be like, she got saved, and the Lord began to speak to her, you're making that an idol. First thing she stopped doing, she stopped practicing on Sunday. Number two, she stopped practicing 5 or 6 hours a day. She decided she was going to practice 2 hours a day, and she was going to have time for the Word. And she got into the Word, and she started praying. Well, in the meantime, a few weeks later, she started going to her lesson. She went to her lesson, and her teacher, the tiger, Mr. Joseph, said, what have you done? He said, your playing is so much better. What have you done? It was like a miracle. I remember when she testified at church at BCF one Sunday, she got up and she said, you won't believe it, I'm practicing less than my teacher is happy. The blessing of God was on the things that she was doing because she was putting him first. Oh. I can't remember what I just read. And I don't know how many people tell me that. I read it and I don't even know what I don't know why I'm reading because I can't even remember what I just read. Try reading it out loud. Read it out loud. Try listening to the scriptures. You can listen. I love Bible. New Letter Bible, BibleGateway.com, Bible. You go on those things and you can listen to scriptures. Well, I don't have, maybe you don't have internet. Come and see me. I got a bunch of Bible CDs. I'll loan them to you. You can listen to the scriptures. They're a good way to do it. As you're reading, write down a few key points. You don't have to write big sentences. As you're reading, suddenly you just say, okay, this is on the God's faithfulness and go on. What that does is it forces your mind to focus on what you're doing, and maybe give yourself a few points. You know, my wife is a great cook. She is awesome. She makes me the most delicious meals, but ask me 2 weeks later what we had 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, but I do know that meal satisfied me, it strengthened me, and that's why I'm still up and on my feet. And when you hear the word, you might not, 3 weeks from now, you might go, well, but it spoke to you, and God is able to get it out of you. Sometimes we just have to pray and trust God as we read. John 14, 26 says, the Advocate, I think I put that up there, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father has sent in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. If you can get the word into you, the Holy Spirit will get it out of you. He will remind you. He will speak to you when you need the word that comes to you. He'll bring it to you. He'll help you to remember it. And you don't have to remember chapter and verse. You know, chapter and verse aren't even in the manuscripts. They're manufactured. They're just a convenience for us. Glory to God. If you will be faithful to meet God in His Word, He will meet you. It will change you. He's looking for faithful people. Last scripture, go ahead. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You draw near to Him in His Word. You pray and seek Him in here. He's going to meet you there, and His promises will be true. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that You would put a fire in our bones to desire Your Word. Father, that we wouldn't give in to distractions, that we wouldn't give in to our excuses, that we wouldn't even give in to our own laziness, Lord. Sometimes it just happens that we're not disciplined, we're lazy. But Father, we've been given this precious, precious thing, Your Word, that can transform and change our lives. God, I pray that You would help us. Help us to be faithful, to dive in and feast on Your Word. And not just one day or one week, but every day. Father, give us the grace and the discipline to hang on and to really learn Your Word and then to lay hold of it and let it do its work in our hearts and lives. God, You're able. We thank You. We thank You for this precious gift
of your word and how it can transform and change our minds and our lives. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, please don't leave. But also, don't leave right away. Dean wasn't in the room. We have a little surprise. We have just a little fellowship right afterward in the floor as a so long, not really farewell, but you know, good story. So we'll want to mention everyone. So stick around, enjoy a piece of cake, and give you a hug. And I love you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for all that you have blessed us with. Send us on our way, Lord, and help us to hang on to your word as you bring it to as many people as we can. In Jesus' name. If you'd like prayer, you can come now. Otherwise, God bless you. Please take fellowship with me.